Hi, I'm Natalia Rose, and this audio is for all you mothers and mothers-to-be. I've been looking forward to sharing this information for a very long time. I've been so fortunate to have had light on my mothering path from the birth of my two children, now 6 and 8, and it is my joy to share the gems of my path with you. This information is what I share with my pregnant and nursing clients, as well as those with toddlers and older children. This information will correct the deviations that have made mothers and children unwell physically and emotionally and set this phase of life back on track. Fortunately, after a few generations of following a very misguided modern code of mothering, small groups of parents and parents-to-be are realizing that there must be a better way. Thankfully, there is finally agreement that breast milk is best, and terms like feeding on demand and co-sleeping are becoming common terms in parenting vocabulary. In fact, there is a big wave of new parents who are looking for the truth because they see that the other approach has only created problems like excessive mucus, chronic ear infections, challenging sleeping patterns, inconsolable infants, postpartum depression and weight gain for mothers, and all the myriad imbalances in infants and toddlers, along with so much more that feeds into the future of the parent-child relationship and wellness as time marches on. We will cover it all here. I applaud your effort to take responsibility for your baby's well-being, even if it means going against the cultural and social norms of the day. You will enjoy a much more serene future with your baby and a much more harmonious home life all around. We are going to be discussing some very uncommon ideas and practices around pregnancy, nursing, and child rearing in this audio. Some of you may be listening with your spouses or have a spouse or other member of your family that may be resistant to less traditional ways of supporting the health and happiness of mother and child. You must remember that since harmony is necessary for a healthy and happy birth, first and foremost, as you bring this knowledge to your relationship, I recommend broaching this with compassion and openness with those supporting you in the care of your child. Avoid the my way or the highway approach. I find the best way to integrate this knowledge is in a very gradual, loving, common sense kind of way. Pregnancy is a good time to learn to temper patience and gentleness with strong leadership, if you haven't already, because, well, this is what parenting is. Women come to this information at all different phases of mothering. If you are lucky enough to find this information before falling pregnant, that is ideal. In this case, I recommend taking 3 to 6 months, more time if you have more time, to engage a pretty rigorous detoxification program. You see, we don't want to undergo a full-throttle detox program while pregnant because the toxins that are awakened by the diet can cross the placenta to the baby. According to doctors, this is not an issue during nursing. However, the cleaner the mother is, the cleaner her breast milk will be. The breast milk from mothers who carry too much internal toxicity can cause mucus, gassiness, and other reactions. Also, once you establish healthier dietary habits, and the body is used to them, you can continue to practice them while pregnant. However, introducing a totally different dietary habit or exercise once pregnant could jostle the apple cart, as it were. So be gracious enough to your body to make intelligent choices around diet and lifestyle changes. Therefore, I recommend undertaking a more intense cleanse, for example, per my audio detox for women, that kills yeast, fungus, and bacteria, while washing away the awakened matter with colonics or enemas prior to trying to conceive. This will also prevent the chronic constipation most pregnant women experience, which causes excess weight gain, poor food cravings, and poor nutrient absorption for the baby. So step one is to cleanse the body and prepare the womb to be a home conducive to the development of a vibrant, strong baby or babies, as the case may be. If you are already pregnant when you are learning this, there are two major keys. The first is to upgrade the quality of the food you eat so that you are only eating foods from the earth. High-quality animal products would fall into this category as well if you are omnivorous prior to pregnancy. The second is to properly combine your meals per the quick exit information in my books. Adding very mild vegetable juice like carrot juice or carrot romaine would be encouraged in small amounts, say 12 to 20 ounces at first and increased as long as you respond well to them, and should be taken on an empty stomach for greatest assimilation. Beyond these simple adaptations of cleansing diet, you could add more raw vegetables to your meals or replace your usual snack with an exclusively raw vegetable snack. At this point, you would also want to look at your intake of red meat, soy, white flour, and mainstream chicken, and strictly limit or ideally omit them if you're ready. If you're starting this program while pregnant, the changes I have just mentioned will be enough until after you give birth. If you've had a chance to detox well prior to pregnancy, you can stick with a comfortable level of cleansing diet throughout the pregnancy. The amazing thing about this work is that when you eat according to the laws of nature, quick exit, high water-containing foods in good combinations with the inclusion of lots of fresh vegetable juice, you are eating the perfect diet for pregnancy. There are just a few things to know in addition. In the first trimester, most women do not gravitate towards salads and vegetable juices, so don't feel you have to force these things at this time. Go with your instincts, which will likely be toward more starchy foods and more cooked foods. Just make sure you're eating the highest quality starches like baked roots and high-quality whole grains like millet, quinoa, buckwheat, spelt, and kamut if you have starchy cravings. Here are some of the things that pregnant women find very appealing that would fit in perfectly. Whole grain simple cereals such as whole grain flakes or whole grain puffs with almond milk. I used to love eating puff kamut with almond milk and agave nectar as a bedtime snack when I was pregnant. The kamut and spelt rice cakes by Susie's brand are also great for settling the stomach and offering a nice crunchy bit of satisfaction anytime. Of course, the sprouted grain breads come in very handy too. Toasted well with organic butter and honey, they really hit the spot and move through the body relatively quickly. Baked starchy roots are ideal for comfort foods that won't stick. Think pumpkin, butternut, acorn, and yams. Don't worry about making your juices so green in early pregnancy, as it can be too intense and increase nausea. A simple carrot or carrot romaine combination will be much easier to stomach. Include some ginger root to settle the stomach if that appeals. Food combining is the one essential if you want to avoid constipation, so be as diligent as you can with that. By the second trimester, most women feel like eating salads and greener juices. So when you're ready, you can get back to lunches that center around an all-raw salad. For example, a big raw salad with a whole avocado smushed in with lemon juice, a touch of olive oil or Udo's oil, and garlic and sea salt to taste. You could add cooked vegetables, a cooked vegetable soup, a baked sweet potato, or toasted sprouted grain bread to that mix. This is a good bet for lunch or grazing during the day. Mid-pregnancy should be a time when featuring raw vegetables really feels good. Then, just round out your meals with some cooked food and quick exit combinations. While I often talk about avoiding oils for the non-pregnant woman, pregnancy is one time the right oil can and should be used therapeutically, meaning to affect health-generating results. Raw flax oil and raw olive oil, meaning cold-pressed to ensure that the molecules remain intact, are helpful for the developing brain, as are the fats from avocados and walnuts, and other high-quality raw nuts and seeds. Do not overdo even the good fats, as that will simply compromise digestion and the work the liver has to do to break them down. Simply add a drizzle of flaxseed oil or Udo's blend oil to your salads. That's enough. This way, you avoid overtaxing the digestion of fats and prevent excess storing of fats while you benefit from receiving the best quality and quantity of these fats for optimal fetal brain development. Taking plenty of raw vegetable juice and adequate fat prevents the baby from leaching your fatty matter in the brain and minerals from your bones and teeth to build their own. Women only become depleted after having babies if they're being leached due to improper nutrition. Next, do everything you can to ensure good eliminations. Prop your feet up and make time to have a full bowel movement every morning. If you have a colon therapist that you trust and have had at least 12 colonics prior to pregnancy, you may continue having gravity-fed colonics or natural gravity pure water enemas, but no pressure other than gravity should ever be used when pregnant. If you've not done at least 12 colonics prior to pregnancy, do not start them now. Okay, now it's time to discuss preparation for baby and nursing. There are a few things I have found to be absolutely essential to baby's beginning in the first few moments of life. The first is that baby should be put skin to skin with its mother the moment it emerges from the womb. Given the opportunity, almost every baby will immediately latch onto the mother's nipple and start sucking. Doing this in the first moments of life makes the baby feel very safe and establishes a good foundation for nursing. Unless there's an emergency, nothing should interfere with the mother's first moments of bonding. Mother and child should be given time to nurse and connect before the cord is cut or the baby is cleaned. The longer the cord blood can pump and the vernix can sit on the baby's skin, the better. Once the cord is cut, the second most important thing is that baby be skin-to-skin with daddy, if possible, or the non-birthing parent. Daddy should take off his shirt and baby should be held against his chest. A blanket can be wrapped around both for warmth, but the flesh-to-flesh experience is key for both baby and daddy. The level at which the exchange is made is extremely deep. Pheromones are exchanged, the baby makes associations with the voice it has been hearing, and develops a growing safe feeling around this individual. Then, when baby is whisked off to be cleaned and fingerprinted, daddy or the partner could stay at baby's side, whispering to it all the while, so it remains in a cocoon of safety. Most babies' emotional imbalances can be traced back to insecurity. Ideally, if the mother is well, the baby should remain with her constantly, rooming in with her as the case may be in a hospital setting. A caregiver should be close at hand to support them both, to keep them warm, comfortable, and serve their needs in these first couple of days and nights, which are usually taken in the hospital. Remember, at this stage, the baby still sees itself as one with the mother's body, not separate despite the fact that it's now its own being. This transition must be made with the utmost sensitivity. Allowing the baby to nurse for as long as it desires, whenever it desires, is a good way to ensure this transition is healthy for everyone. It is, of course, at this stage when the breasts are full of colostrum, the gel-like fluid which precedes breast milk, and carries all of mommy's antibodies, delivering strong immunity to all that mommy has been exposed from all that mommy has been exposed to the baby, to enrich his immunity against these things, as well as feed the baby's intestine with healthy flora for a strong, healthy digestive system for life. Baby will likely sleep during most of the hospital stay with periods of suckling. If left in the nursery, the baby will likely be given sugar water and or formula, even if mother asks the baby be brought to her to feed. Every nurse in every hospital does things a bit differently and handles the stress of a newborn a bit differently. I wouldn't leave it to chance and risk having your baby getting sidelined by an overworked nurse or given sugar water or formula out of convenience. Not when he or she should be sucking colostrum, which is only available for the first couple of days. The colostrum is the best opportunity the baby may ever have to seed good bacteria in the intestines. The flora is laid when taking the colostrum, so if this is missed in those first 48 hours, it is a major loss. When baby comes home, in addition to nursing, which we will cover some more, the most important thing to know about mothering an infant is how precious the first 100 days of its life is. This set of days is sometimes referred to as the fourth trimester, completing a full year of pregnancy. It is celebrated in many traditions, ancient traditions in South America and Tibet. The idea is that the baby still perceives itself as one with its mother and therefore should be permitted to be physically what they call in arms for that period as much as desired. Baby should be held close and allowed to nurse on demand for those first 3 months. This makes the baby feel totally safe and see the world as being a safe place. In this way, it gets all the sucker it needs, both emotionally and physiologically, for optimal growth. The biggest fallacy women are told when they are sent home with a nursing baby is that babies should be fed once every 3 hours. Well, in very rare cases, you'll find a baby who eats every 3 hours, but normally, baby wants to eat about once and sometimes twice an hour, which completely baffles women and drives them to their wits' end. They don't understand their child's cry when withholding the breast because they feel their baby should be satisfied and is possibly just manipulating them for attention. This could not be further from the truth. Mothers are led to believe that their primary goal is to create a schedule for the newborn. They think it is in the best interest of the newborn to have a schedule. Often the doctor or grandmother or other alpha female rearing her bossy head insists that a schedule must be created come hell or high water. Unfortunately, both mother and child suffer when this happens. Baby is the one with the instincts intact, and only baby should set the schedule at this juncture. Mother will be happy when her baby is happy and satisfied, which only happens when he or she is experiencing the natural oneness with mommy by being in arms or skin to skin or suckling as the case may be. Children who are not given enough time at the breast or have had it withheld entirely tend to show their unmet needs in myriad other ways throughout childhood, adolescence, and it can often be seen in adulthood. The opposite is also true. The child that has had its natural needs completely met in the first few years of life shows this throughout his life. It's a joyful price to pay for a lifetime of contentment. Co-sleeping, nursing on demand, all stem from this concept. You will not spoil your child by meeting these needs thoroughly. There have been many studies done to prove that babies who sleep with their parents have no trouble sleeping in their own beds when the time comes. Typically, a baby should room in with the parent, either in bed with them or in a bassinet for the first 3 months. A crib is okay for afternoon naps if the baby responds well to it, but after being inside the cozy, tight womb, that is a drastic change. Daytime naps are a good time to practice separation if desired. The wonderful thing about co-sleeping is that nursing mom can just sleep topless and baby can nurse with minimal disruption to mommy's sleep. Baby awakes, hungers, smells mommy's milk, which usually starts to ooze the moment baby wants it, and then baby can just latch right on. No getting up to warm a bottle, sitting up to feed, burp, and put back down, just harmonious feeding and sleeping. Many parents think mother will get more sleep if she pumps and leaves a bottle for daddy or the caregiver. It's okay for mommy to do this, but it really is not advisable until after the fifth week. Prior to that, the milk supply is nowhere close to being fully established. Milk works on the supply-demand law. When baby sucks at the breast for 30 minutes, he is only taking milk for a portion of that time. The rest of that time, he is still suckling, but not getting anything out. This is because he is sending the message to the breast to make more milk, that it's presently making, because as he will be incrementally bigger tomorrow, he will need more milk. If a woman pumps and sees that her breasts are empty, she will typically stop pumping and therefore miss sending her body that message that her baby would have sent, starting a cycle of less than satisfactory milk production for the growing infant. After 7 to 8 weeks, you can be fairly confident about your supply being developed. But even then, if you pump, you should really continue to pump a bit longer after the milk is drained to remind the body to make more. The first 2 months are by far the most demanding months for nursing. After the milk supply is established and the baby has grown big enough to have a stomach that can hold more milk at a serving, he will start to feed at the 3-hour rate. But to expect every 3-hour feedings prior to this is simply unrealistic. When women are told their baby is not thriving on their milk, that usually means that they are not putting on enough weight, which is usually because the mother has either pumped too soon or has not let the baby suck as long as needed at each feeding to send the supply-demand message, or because her diet is not a milk-maximizing diet. Now that you understand the supply-demand solution, here's how to eat for maximum milk production so that your baby hits the jackpot of the land of milk and honey. A nursing mother must literally eat like a cow. What do cows eat to make milk? Greens, right? Now, when I was leaving the hospital with my firstborn 8 years ago, the La Leche League president advised me to eat lots of red meat and ice cream. Now, this group has played a very important role in bringing nursing back, but this is just the worst advice. Milk does not make milk. Meat does not make milk. Quantities of food do not make milk. Overweight women are generally undernourished. Overeating does not serve you in pregnancy, nursing, or any other time. It will only slow you down, overwhelm, and thereby crush your metabolism and prevent optimal absorption of nutrients and life force energy for baby. Greens make milk. Raw, organic, leafy greens make the best milk. Therefore, when nursing, the focal point of the diet is greens. Here's a good basic plan from which you can customize your own, according to your own taste and lifestyle. Start your day with plenty of pure water. Hydration is a major key for breast milk supply. Then, when you're ready to take something in, make or buy from a fresh juice bar 16 to 40 ounces of pure raw vegetable juice. A recipe as simple as carrot romaine will do, the green lemonade recipe in my first book, or any other juice recipes you enjoy that centers around leafy greens will do. Thereafter, you may enjoy some fruit as and when desired. When you're ready for a midday meal, the focal point should be a green salad with a base of romaine, spinach, mesclun, or any other dark leafy green. Toss it with your favorite raw veggies and an avocado, and dress it with some simple lemon juice-based dressing. You can add steamed green vegetables, like a head of steamed broccoli with butter and sea salt, if you like, along with a baked sweet potato, or some whole grain crackers, if needed. Just be sure you center it all around lots of raw and cooked greens. For dinner, you could have another raw salad, or you should actually have another raw salad, with some high-quality fish or baked starchy roots and steamed greens. Everything else you wish to add should be done in addition to the greens, never instead of. Focus on raw and cooked greens and add anything else you'd like in quick extra combinations. Getting your body back is really easy when you're eating like this. The important thing to keep in mind when you are postpartum and just dying to get your shape back is that, nursing or not, your body won't let go of those last 8 to 10 pounds until after the fourth month. The fourth month is the watershed month. If you've done everything right all the way through, at this time your body will shed the remaining layers and you'll be back. If you try to do this before this point, you'll just overstress your body and be spinning your wheels. Just rest, enjoy your body, and after this point you can get more intense with your diet and exercise program. A short 4-day fast usually does the trick if your body's being stubborn about it. But I urge you to be patient and wait until after this point or you'll just get discouraged. The only changes I would make when you stop breastfeeding, if you wish to lean out further, would be to follow the guidance in my audio release, Detox for Women, or in my blog from April 2007 called Eating for Simplicity. What about leaving milk behind if you're not pumping for the first 6 weeks? Well, I always left diluted goat's milk behind if I didn't have extra pumped milk. Mainstream pediatricians who are not familiar with this practice will warn against it, and as always, you should check with your doctor. The naturopathic doctors I consulted with were familiar with this age-old option and gave me the green light to use it from time to time. I will say that both my children enjoyed it as babies, but I recommend only using it in emergencies in the first 3 months, as you do not want to compromise the supply-demand balance as you're building and sustaining your milk supply. In the early weeks, I made the mixture 1 part goat milk to 3 parts water, and then later on it became half and half until eventually my kids wanted the pure goat's milk. After weaning age, however, milk is completely unnecessary and, in fact, unadvisable because it is mucus-forming. Mother's milk, not the milk of another species, is the whole point. Once that is over, there is no need for milk ever again, unless it is desired. Once your baby is 6 months old, you will start introducing foods beyond milk. Real food, by the way, is not rice, cereal, and adult food. Real food is fruits, vegetables, and avocados, which are technically a fruit. I created a little concoction that worked extremely well as baby food on so many levels. I call them baby shakes. Baby shakes are blended, whole, raw food meals that bridge nursing and table food. Easier for baby to eat and more enjoyable than spoon-fed baby food, baby shakes offer superior nutrition and pleasure for mother and baby. Let me preface by saying that after milk, food should be introduced to baby's delicate, pure intestinal tract with care. The lightest foods should go first. These are melons. Start with some blended cantaloupe. When that is taken well, the next meal or day can be melon blended with bananas. Next, you can try avocado blended with banana and a splash of water to blend it. Once it is clear the baby is easily digesting and passing these foods, you can start to create fully balanced baby shakes. There are 3 components to properly balanced baby shakes: a green, a sweet, and a fat. These are the building blocks of perfect meal combinations for satisfying baby with this bridging tool. So simply decide on the component you will use for each of these and then blend. Be sure not to use strawberries or honey in the first year. Here are some of the mixtures I made for my kids. The first was carrot juice, romaine lettuce leaves, and an avocado. These are not in order of how I introduced them to their system. It's just a laundry list. So carrot juice, romaine lettuce leaves, and avocado. Second, fresh squeezed orange juice, avocado, and some lettuce leaves. Third, fresh orange juice, banana, lettuce leaves, and a drizzle of Udo's oil. 4, peaches, banana, a little chopped kale or parsley, and avocado. You can always use a little water to blend it and make it smoother if you need to. 5, banana, raw almond butter, or raw tahini, and baby lettuces, again with water to blend. The combinations are pretty endless. Just keep good judgment in mind. Food combining does not have to be perfect, but watch for gassiness and reorder your, quote, formulas accordingly if baby gets at all gassy. I recommend making a large batch each morning and filling up 4 to 5 bottles. I would simply cut a larger hole in the nipple and let baby take as much of the bottle as desired. Eventually, your baby will be able to hold the bottle him or herself, and eventually he or she will consume about 1 per meal and the entire batch throughout the day. I recommend to continue nursing throughout the first year, even if the nursing pares down to 2 or 3 feedings per day, at least upon rising and going to bed. That keeps the bond and the health benefits flowing. Baby knows when to wean, and left to their own devices, most babies will wean themselves around 12 months, more or less. Always check that the blended batches are very, very smooth with no large pieces the baby could choke on. This is a great way to set your baby's palate up for enjoying pure raw foods and vegetables. You can even pour some of your vegetable juice into their baby shakes. And by all means, if your baby likes your vegetable juice, share it with them. I soon had to start giving my kids their own vegetable juices because they like them so much. Once baby starts to want to eat the non-blended foods, you can give them pieces of the fruits and avocados and even put a little bit of almond butter on romaine lettuce leaves. That was always a big hit. Eventually, as they get older, you can introduce baked roots and sprouted grains along with goat's milk products like raw goat's cheese or the pasteurized yogurts, which are in the health food stores. Even pasteurized goat's milk products are okay to include if they enjoy them. I do not stress about food combining with my kids. Once they're toddlers, this would just be too ridiculous to manage as they graze virtually incessantly. I would just focus on the quality and purity of their intake. That is the best you can do after you set this ideal foundation for them. When they go to school, you can pack their lunches, and obviously at home they will be eating what you know is best. I make the conscious choice to let my kids eat whatever they like at birthday parties or in restaurants because it's important that they have the opportunity to safely explore other foods and feel empowered about their choices. I do not recommend being so strict that they become resentful about eating healthfully. Be careful to see where your personal controls dominate and undermine healthy exploration around food. They will survive a slice of birthday cake, a pizza, popcorn, or even some cotton candy, although I draw the line at hot dogs. That's my limit, and I'll admit my controls would intervene at that point. Thankfully, my kids have so far found hot dogs pretty repellent, so that has not been an issue. I keep lots of what I call clean treats in the house, like whole grain, fruit juice sweetened cookies, natural corn chips, and goat milk ice cream or fruit popsicles so they can indulge freely. I have done everything I have told you about with them. Today, they are 6 and 8, and they enjoy the most tremendous health and vitality. I remember being sick all the time at their ages, in bed with sore throats and fevers, stomach aches, and all the rest, and they simply do not suffer like that. Further, they see their friends plagued with these common ailments and comment to me that they are glad they eat the way they do. They may not have understood it as toddlers, but they are starting to make the connections now. Let's return briefly to the tenets of nursing on demand and the in-arms period. Remember, baby still sees itself as one with mother after birth. It longs to be close, so close, and remain connected. This is why newborns cry when they are put down in a crib in their new room. The more space between baby and mother, or father or sincere caregiver, the more emptiness and longing the baby will feel. This begins a vicious cycle of insecurity on subconscious and conscious levels that plays out in innumerable ways. Some obvious, like clinginess, some less obvious, like tantrums, as a child matures. You will not find a baby that has been nursed on demand from birth, held in arms for the duration of the fourth trimester, and allowed to co-sleep until weaned, expressing itself in these ways. Some people might say that this is just too extreme. Who has the time to do this for 3 months? It's 3 months in the entire life of the mother and child. If this space is lovingly created for mother and child, the entire life experience for this child and the relationship with its parents and its world will be the very best that is possible. Is this not reason enough? Think of all the pain down the road that could be eliminated just by building on such a strong foundation. Even if this were followed for 1 month postpartum, it would be beneficial. The longer the better, but any bit that can be done will have a beneficial impact. What it means, however, is that mother must be prepared to put nursing first above all other things for the first few weeks and months when the newborn is most emphatically focused on the breast. Most women want to get themselves up and about again as quickly as possible after childbirth. And many women, especially single mothers and mothers with older children, don't have much choice in the matter. I urge you to try and find another way for the laundry to get done and the beds to get made and food to be delivered and prepared. Plan to do as little as possible outside of nursing for the first few weeks so that you and your baby can nurse and sleep as uninterrupted as possible. You do not need to prove that you can be back on your feet doing all kinds of things as quickly as possible. I don't know how that ever became something to aspire to. Your well-rested, happy body will spring back if you approach mothering in a natural, harmonious way. Call in your friends, your family, hire help. Anyone can do the cleaning, organizing, and shopping. Only you can make your baby feel safe as the big world outside of you and feel confident that his needs will be met. He doesn't care what color his bassinet is or if he has the matching wall border. He only cares that his mommy is there, and if she is there and there is warm milk coming out of her body, the world is complete and he will be at peace. Now, for some of you, breastfeeding is not possible. In that case, you can still remain one with your baby per the in-arms period and give a bottle. You will find that the baby's feeding needs, when given a bottle, will shortly fall into a once-every-three-hour schedule. Once baby is asleep, baby may be placed in a bassinet or swaddled in a bed or crib. The awake baby does not have to remain in arms all the time either. The idea is not to smother baby with attention, not at all. It's just that we have the understanding that baby sees itself as one with its mother as it needs to be and must have, and as it needs, must have the option of being in its mother's arms. Again, father's arms or genuine loving caregiver will usually be fine. In tribal countries, babies are placed on their mother's back so the mother can work and baby can feel close, but also be stimulated by watching the activities and observing the customs. To inspire and educate you about the fourth trimester and the in-arms period, I highly recommend the book, The Continuum Concept. If you only read one book on newborns, this is the book to get. If you are looking for more guidance, such as recipe ideas and more on this subject, you might want to check out my free ebook, Life Force Energy Children, on my website, detoxtheworld.com. Enjoy the relationships that develop between you and your kids. They are such amazing little people that teach us everything we need to know. Thank you for listening, and I send you and your family my love and support. Bye for now.